taken from Acts chapter 27, verses 13 to 26. This is on your notice sheet, but it begins halfway down the page. The storm. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force, called the Northeaster, swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Corda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen, just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you. You're here with us now. Lord Jesus, I pray that any words that are useful are useful, and any are not are thrown away. But Lord, I pray by the power of your Spirit you speak to us through this scripture, that we may live lives of courage. Amen. Amen. So I got quite excited when I read this one, because it's a little bit different to the other scriptures all about Paul, where he continually tells his story, which is a really good thing to do, as we've already discovered. But this gives a little bit more of kind of what's going on. Would encourage you, if you've got a Bible near you, perhaps to keep it open at Acts 27, because I'm going to talk sort of beginning the first bit and the end of that. It was just such a long passage, I thought it would probably get lost if I do it all. So I'm going to talk about what kind of happens and surrounds that particular scripture. This bit was called the storm, and I thought it's good to read the storm, isn't it? How many of us feel like we're in storms in our lives so often? It's true, isn't it? So we're continuing here with the life of St. Paul and all that he's got up to. I wonder if you, and when I say you, by the way, I always include myself, so never think I disclude myself, but I think the word you is always quite powerful to say. I wonder if you have the courage to live the life that God has called you to live. Do you have the courage to live the life that God has called you to live? That means trusting God, knowing that whatever happens, God has you safe in his hands. And when I read this scripture, that's kind of what was coming to me. The word that came to me was courage. When I was asked about songs, I thought, songs about courage. Do we have that in us that we will live fully the life God has called us to? What does it mean to be courageous? Well, I think Paul is a man who often displays courage. His courage, though, is clearly, very clearly, firmly based in the foundation that he knows and he trusts Jesus, doesn't he? He knows his God. He didn't just believe it, he knows it. And you can see that in his life. He trusts and he knows. But, of course, I just want to remind you, as you sit there thinking and feeling inadequate at this moment in time, Courage isn't the absence of fear, it's stepping out anyway, remember. It's not the absence of not being sure or not being trusted. It's going to do it anyway because I know my God is with me, isn't it? It's not the absence of it. We all get fearful at times. We all get unsure at times. We all get uncertain at times. We all doubt at times. But we still believe. We still go on. We still know. So, but Paul is an amazing character. He's learnt to be content in all circumstances. Philippians 4:11 talks about that, where he's learnt to be content. I think he was so sure Jesus would sort things in his life, wasn't he? He was just so sure. He just knew it. He didn't just believe it, he knew it. Even in death, he knew where he was going. He has a certainty about who God is in his life, and he lives it. He lives it. If you live in accordance to what you really believe, does this change how you live? If you believe and do you live that, how would you live, if that makes sense? How do you live when you really believe, when you know it? It should change, shouldn't it, how we live? Change the things that are important. How we live changes when things that are important change. So is Jesus your anchor? Is he your anchor? Is he my anchor? Does he give you courage to step out even in the storm? Are you courageous? So here we have this wonderful chapter, chapter 27. And it starts with Paul taking yet another trip. He's always on a trip, isn't he? Always on holiday is Paul, isn't he? Anyway, we have Julius the centurion guarding Paul. And the word, and there's a word in there that says we indicates that Luke the author was probably present as well, because the way it talks in that scripture is to suggest that. So, here we have this situation. Paul is off to Rome, and he's a prisoner. What fun. But he's being treated really, really well. We see this in the scriptures preceding the one that was read. He's treated extremely well. He's able to see his friends in Sidon. And that actually says to me something about this man of God. Paul was an incredible man. It's clear that Julius respects Paul. He respects him enough to treat him really, really well. He sees Paul's character. And then we're hit by this wonderful trip. This trip has quite a lot of issues, doesn't it? Quite a difficult journey, I would say, wouldn't you, this one? Ships in those times, they didn't have compasses. They navigated by the stars. They would... sailing was hard in September and not possible in November, and the trip probably occurred in October, it says, approximately 59 AD. So this is not really a time to be doing this journey. The pilot of the ship is taking a real chance. He's taking a real chance of these circumstances. Paul actually warns them as well. He warns them that the trip is dangerous and lives will be lost, but he's ignored. Sometimes we ignore warnings, don't we? The signs are all around us and we can see it, but we ignore warnings. The Holy Spirit can be nudging us, and yet when we ignore God, that's often when we get into trouble. I don't know, but when I've got into trouble, it's always when I've ignored what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. It's always when I've gone my own way and thought I know better. So Paul is walking in the power of the Spirit. And he responds to God's guidance and revelation, doesn't he? But Paul isn't heard. They carry on with this disastrous journey, and it is really disastrous, isn't it? In verse 13, it looks, though, at that moment in time, verse 13, it looks like there might be a way out. It looks like, actually, hang on a minute, there may be a way through this. But there's a bit of disappointment. There's a lot of disappointment. And in the story, I was thinking when I got to that point, as I was reading it, disappointment is a really tough thing, isn't it? How many of us have disappointments that we need to deal with, I wonder? Disappointments, you know, can lead us down a path of not trusting or being lethargic in our faith. And they're disappointed. Things didn't happen quite as they expected or hoped. And yet, God is in it all. Wanting to change us, change the circumstances. And God is with us in our disappointments, you know. wanting to change us and change our circumstances. Always there. Will we be faithful even in disappointment? Will we listen even when we're disappointed, when we feel let down? We're called to be faithful. But in this scripture here, after that happens, what happens that is really not great is that a hurricane arrives. How many times are we in life and suddenly the hurricane arrives? And we go, oh, okay, great. They'd not listened. And the storm catches the ship. It's terrifying. They can lose their lives. Will they trust even in the storm? Will they trust? The Badrians actually describe those wonderful words of that it's violent. Violent. Can you imagine? Courage is needed, isn't it? And you know that when you are in trouble, sometimes you just have to let go of the cargo in order not to sink, you know. Amount of times, I don't know about you, but I've had to let go of something in order not to sink. And it's tough. Even what we think is essential sometimes needs to be held loosely. The only thing we need is Jesus. And that takes courage. It takes courage. Gradually on this trip, gradually as we watch this trip, what happens actually, isn't it? Everything that weighs the ship down is thrown away. Everything. Just to keep them afloat, just to keep them going. They have to chuck everything off. All the way through that scripture. But still, they think there's no hope. Even though they're chucking it off, they think there's no hope. How many times in our life do we chuck things off and think, there's still no hope, but I'm going to go try anyway. They're desperate. They had nothing left. And it's at that point when Paul sounds a little bit annoying, doesn't he? Just a bit annoying, possibly, if you read this scripture in a certain way. You know those people that say, because remember who's warned them earlier? I told you so. Well, it sounds a little bit like that. It sounds like that is what Paul is doing. But there's actually much more to this when you actually read behind that scripture. That's not actually what Paul is doing in this thing. There's more to it. Paul's purpose wasn't to say, I told you so. He's actually reminding them that God was guiding them. And that what happened had already been predicted. So he's saying, look, God's with us. God's with me. Listen to what I have to say. It was his way of getting them to listen, to hear him, get them to trust him and God. Did they have the courage to trust God even in the storm? Because look, he knew that would happen. It's proof that he's hearing from God. And then we have it where they throw the weighted ropes into the water. They did that so they could tell the depth of the water from the marks on the ropes. And they did all they could to try and save themselves. But the thing is, so often we try and save ourselves. We can't, can we? We need God to save us. Only Jesus can save us. Only he. So often we do things in our own power, in our own way, in our own thing, because then we forget, actually, only he saves us. Can't do it ourselves. And Paul at this point is pointing them to the way of hope. And he tells them, keep courage. How many of us need to hear that words today? Keep courage. Don't lose hope. Be brave. God is with you. You're not on your own. We have to have courage to believe that Jesus will do all that he has promised, and he will, and he has, by dying and rising. And Paul says to them that they'll not be lost. You won't get lost. Trust him. But they will have to let go of their safety vessel. The ship's going to get lost. The things you trust in might get lost. That aren't Jesus. But actually, he's all you need. They had to let go to be saved. The next bit, which we didn't actually read again, was a bit, but is was the shipwreck, because it's all put into... Go back and read it, because it's brilliant, because it's put in three bits. So we've had the storm, now we have the shipwreck. At this point, we have people that... some of those people were trying to escape. They are taking the lifeboats. What a blessing they are, aren't they? Taking the lifeboats. You know, those people who try and get off very quickly when something's going wrong. But Paul warns them, unless we go together, we won't go at all. We need to be together. To be saved, they had to give up the lifeboats and stay together. We need each other. It's no good being saved and being on your own, is it? We want actually to get alongside each other, to support each other, to be in it together. And they listen. They actually let go of the lifeboats. They give them up. The lifeboats. What faith. They're obedient. And Paul at this point commands them to eat. He's probably commanded to eat because he knew they're going to have a pretty bad time and they're going to be exhausted and they're going to have to swim to shore and some of them have to get little planks and things to get on shore. He knew what was coming. So he gets their strength up. He says, right now, eat. Practical thing. Sometimes we have to grab each other together and go, you know, it's time for us to eat so that we can get ready. Let's you know, sometimes I think that's up our prayer meetings. We get together, we pray because actually we know that something's coming. Let's get together and do things because we know something's coming and we need to be strong. That's what he's saying. We need to be strong here. And he says, and you will survive. You'll survive. We'll survive together. In fact, he said, not one hair on the head will be touched. We're going to survive together. And Paul breaks bread with the men, thanking God. And what do they do after that? They've got rid of their lifeboats. Like I say, they've got rid of so much stuff. And then they go and throw the grain out the ship. Really? You must be thinking. The food's gone. Everything being stripped away. Everything. What do we need to strip away? Everything. Essentials. Nothing is left but the boat they're in. The vessel. At least we've got the boat. We're okay. They're getting lighter as they shed all the earthly things that they trust in. And they all survived. 276 of them, including the prisoners. And the prisoners escaping, because that would have been an issue for them, prisoners escaping would have meant the soldiers would actually pay with their own lives. So that's why they were talking about killing them. But here again, we see that wonderful relationship and character of Paul, that he has this wonderful, Junius has this wonderful respect for Paul. And that's why they're saved. He spares the prisoner's life to save Paul. And they all survive. But even the boat has gone now. Everything. Even the boat. The grain is gone. Everything is gone. But they are saved. They are saved. Isn't it a wonderful scripture? Isn't it just, I don't know, I read this and I thought, yeah, I need to hear this. You see, the prophetic word that Paul gave came to be. They all lived. Paul went off to Rome. But they had to let go of an awful lot along the way to get there. So I was thinking, what do we learn from that? What is God saying to you through this? What are you learning from it? What do we learn? Well, first of all, I think it can be really hard to let go of our safety nets. The things we trust. What things do you trust? The worldly things we think that we need. Possessions. Bigger house, bigger car, this. Attitudes. Plans even. You know, it was someone that said when we tell God his plans, he laughs. Our plans. What are God's plans? We only have today. We only have today. What are God's plans for today for you? And yet, when we trust God with everything, he is with us. He is always with us. And there's a message, I think, here for the church today, as us as the church, we go together as God's people. We need each other. It's why I work so hard with the other churches. Because there's one church, actually. There's one kingdom. We don't want to build empire. We're building kingdom. We want all to be blessed. We go together as God's family. We need each other. We needed you. I need you. You need me. We need all the other Christians around us. We need to be working together. Or we sink. We swim together. Or we sink. But Jesus goes with us when we trust him, and that's the point. And Paul, you know, it's interesting. Paul is still a prisoner. Do you notice that? We get through the scripture, we get to the end. Paul is still a prisoner. But when you read the scripture and you read what he says and who he is, I don't know about you, but to me, his spirit is free. He may be a prisoner, but he's free. He's content. Can you say the same? It's not our circumstances. It's how we behave in our circumstances that makes us free. Trust in God. And they're on a journey. What things do you need to lay down? Do we, as St. James, need to lay down to make that journey easier? Right. And if everything is gone, if everything is stripped away, would you still trust Jesus? Would we? If we lose it all, will we still trust Jesus? Lay down the plans, our families, our friends, our hopes, our disappointments. Lay it all down, the things we trust in. And they didn't listen to Paul, did they, at the beginning, who heard from God? So the other challenge I want to say is, what is Jesus saying to you and to us here today? Are we listening? Can we hear him? They even got rid of their lifeboats. Sometimes we trust in really good things, but they still get in the way of us trusting in Jesus. We have to take a risk, stepping out courageously for Jesus. Going out on the street to talk to people about him. Costly. We gain so much more than doing it, you know, though. Come back so excited. Costly laying ourselves down to serve others. It's costly. But we gain so much more. They get rid of their food. Even that which we think is essential can be a stumbling block when we worship. Do you need to let go of your boat? Is there something stopping you moving on? Has the vessel got stuck somewhere and you're still sitting on it? And God is saying, get off. Swim to shore. So apply all this to your life. Apply it to your life. What is it saying to us? Well, apply it to St. James Church. What is it saying to us? When we come on the 5th of May, we'll apply this. Think about it. What do we need to let go of? Just as much as what do we need to take up? And do we have courage to trust God? Trust God with every area of our lives. Every area. In everything and whatever that outcome may be. Do we have that trust? Could you get go of all your fear? Could you step out even though you are in fear? Could you be courageous? Could you trust God more? Is God your anchor? Is God the anchor at St. James? Do we trust Jesus? So I want us just to encourage us now, just to maybe think about those things that I've just brought up, and maybe there's something there that's really touched your heart. It might be disappointment. It might be that you just don't feel courageous. It might be that you feel that you're just not, I don't know, living the life God has called you to live because you're so afraid of getting it wrong all the time. Sometimes, actually, we step out regardless. Fear can hold us back. Faith, somebody once said, wasn't it, is risk. And it is. But we're not really risking that much when we have a God that we trust in and a God who saves us and a God who actually will enable us. I just encourage you just to stand if you can. If you can't, that's fine. I just want us to just pray that. And as we go into worship, we're going to sing No Longer Slaves, which is an amazing worship song. And as we do that, maybe use it as a prayer to actually allow God to free you, to know that he loves you. He saved you. Even if you lose your boat, he's there. He will never leave you. God thinks you're amazing. And he wants to know you more. Let him in. So maybe think of those areas now that you need to let Jesus in more. There'll be people over there that'll be available to pray with you if you need more prayer, now and after the service and different times. But let's just have a moment of quiet as you just think of those things you want to bring before the Lord, and then I'll pray. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit, now, and just speak to our hearts and whatever needs dealing with. Help us to trust you, to lay down things that we need to lay down, but to trust you. Help us to receive your love, to know that whatever we lose, we can never lose you. Enter our hearts more. In everything, Lord, the power of your Spirit is always there for us. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts today and set us free. Set us free, Lord, free from all the stuff that is not from you, all the things that we're led to believe that isn't you. Listening to the wrong voices. Give us courage to trust you in all our circumstances. Whatever those circumstances are, knowing, Lord, you are our anchor. Come, Lord Jesus. And let's worship, and as we worship, as a prayer, give those, hand those things over to God.